You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 4th of February 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, I've been saying for quite some time now that some of the best propaganda we have is actually the mainstream media. When they put on these anti-white professors and when they talk about patriots as being far right and white supremacists. And we had another really good example of this just the other day. And this has really kicked up quite a fuss, happening as it does at the same time as Alastair Stewart, the well-loved newsreader, was asked to resign for quoting Shakespeare as somebody who was black. And the lines that he used, the Shakespearean lines, contained the words angry ape. And the social justice warriors at the top of ITV decided that the newsreader had to resign for this. And there's been a big backlash against that from the general British public, as there has been a big backlash to this as well. Furious Good Morning Britain viewers have blasted an arrogant anti-white academic who said that the British Empire did more harm than the Nazis and branded whiteness a psychosis. Now that's quite groundbreaking that we actually have the Daily Mail here using the words anti-white in the first line of their article and not using it in a derogatory way. Not pointing out that is something that the evil white supremacist neo-Nazi far right say, but that Good Morning Britain viewers are saying this. They are calling this academic an arrogant anti-white academic. I think that's the first time that I've actually seen that actually used by the mainstream media, the words anti-white in anything other than a negative context. Kehinde Andrews, who is a professor of black studies at Birmingham City University, told Piers Morgan and Susanna Reid that the British Empire was worse than the Third Reich. And of course they have to get in the anti-Nazi bit in here, and we have to play along with this idea that the Third Reich was the greatest evil that ever happened. So we'll have to just ignore that bit for the time being. He was appearing on today's programme debating Labour leader hopeful Lisa Nandy's proposal to remove the word empire from OBEs. Now, what is that about? This is supposed to be a debate. You've got an anti-white professor who hates the British Empire and who hates all white people. And then you've got a non-white Labour MP who also hates the British Empire and wants to have the word removed from OBEs, and for some reason ITV thought there would be some kind of a debate between two people that quite obviously think the same way. And this is the reason why I say that the mainstream media is so good for us, because when they put on these debates, they never have anybody that actually speaks up for us. They always agree on their anti-white policies. Basically, I mean, how can you call this a debate when you've got a left-wing Labour MP who hates the British Empire and wants it removed from the Order of the British Empire Award, and you've got a black professor that also hates the British Empire? I mean, they agree on this. It's not going to be a debate, is it? And this is how what they want to turn Twitter into, basically, is everybody just agreeing. And they claim that's making it safe for debate. Removing Katie Hopkins, that's making Twitter safe for debate. There is no debate if you just remove the opposing voice, is there? Immediately after his appearance on the daytime television show, the professor took to his Twitter to continue to slam the British Empire and brand whiteness a psychosis. Imagine if I was to go on Twitter and call blackness a psychosis. I would soon be removed from Twitter for hate speech, yet it seems to be perfectly acceptable for blacks to say that we are a neurological disease. The very fact we are white is some kind of psychological aberration. Remember, this is a people that didn't even have a written language when we found them. Everything they have been taught by us, and this is the way they repay us, by attacking us at every chance that they can get. Of course, I'm overgeneralizing a little bit there, but it certainly seems that way with the ones that we see on the television. I do know that out there in Africa, there are quite a few that would love to see the white man come back and would rather have us in power, ensuring that there was law and justice and the trains worked and the power stations worked, rather than the communist sympathizing black rulers that they do have now. But it seems that once these people get to white countries, they learn of how they can get whatever it is they wish for just by accusing white people of being racist and blaming racism for everything. I mean, we even learned that for a fact with a study that was done a week or so back, where it showed that people that had just come to this country thought that there was no oppression and that they had a lot of opportunities, but non-whites that had been here for quite a while, we're in the second generation, something like 70% of them thought that they were oppressed. It's a learned behavior because we have this anti-white education system. I mean, it's sunk through everything, like the words in a stick of rock. It's in the education system, it's in the mainstream media, it's everywhere, this anti-white mentality. And maybe older people like Piers Morgan, maybe they haven't really noticed it, or they're just starting to wake up to it now. And I do think they are starting to wake up to it now, because we do have these celebrities that are now starting to speak up about it. The nationalists have been warning about this for decades and been silenced for blowing the whistle on it, basically. Taking to his social media page, The Academic praised the author Carol Anderson for her book White Rage and wrote, "Yes, whiteness is a psychosis. Much respect to Professor C. Anderson for the excellent White Rage. First stop on my reading hour for the Psychosis of Whiteness book." Well, his tweet there doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it's obviously saying that being white is some kind of neurological problem. It's some kind of psychosis that we have that makes us want to improve things and build civilization, I guess. He later added, "The British Empire lasted far longer, did more damage, and in many ways paved the way for the Nazis and their genocidal ideology." Well, the British Empire did do some negative things. But if it wasn't for the British Empire, Africa would still be living in the Stone Age, basically. India would still be warring amongst one another. Just look at what happened when Britain left India and there was the partition between India and Pakistan. As soon as the British had left, millions of people were raped and murdered and slaughtered. The British Empire was, overall, it was certainly a force of good for the people in those countries, but I would say it wasn't a force of good for the British people. Far, far from it was it a force of good for the British people. The people that were in the Third World, They were given medicine, they were given the means to provide for themselves, they were built infrastructure, telecommunications, taught how to read and write, taught medicine, taught science. And all we have to do is look at the demographics and look at the way that that line is just shooting up off the page that shows how many black births there have been in the last century, to see that the British Empire and colonialism did far more for the Third World than it ever did for the British people. If you look at the British people, our births have gradually been going down, not going up. I mean, that's the best measure that you can look at to see whether a people are benefiting from the surroundings that they live in. He says, we do no favours to the victims of the Holocaust by pretending otherwise. If we get the past, we are likely to repeat it. So what he's doing there, he's actually blaming the British for the Holocaust. Now, obviously, I question what went on in the Holocaust. I question because of the evidence that I've seen, which is different to the evidence that most people think is actually there, but it isn't. But the mainstream narrative is that the British prevented the Holocaust. The British went in there and sacrificed their lives fighting against the Germans in order to prevent the so-called Holocaust. So where he's getting this idea that it's the British fault for this, I guess he will get support from Jews for this, because the Jews do want to get everybody white to feel guilty for the Holocaust. That's the point of having all these Holocaust lessons that they have in schools. That's constantly what they are saying when they talk about anti-Semitism, that everybody must be taught about the Holocaust, and everybody must feel guilty for it and prevent it from happening again by stamping out and censoring nationalism. Even though nationalism just says that people should be ruling themselves and should be living in accordance with natural law, living with their own people. There's nothing about murdering any other peoples in that. So I suspect he's seeking to get Jews on his side by saying this. Following the show, viewers branded Professor Andrews a racist after he incensed them with his remarks about Britain, the Empire, and whiteness. And of course, you know, this is the thing. These people, when they make these accusations and they say, oh, you've got white privilege, or you're a white supremacist and everything is so much easier for you because you're white, you've got everything on a plate, they don't seem to understand that is judging somebody on their race. And we're told that it's racist to do that. But of course, they think that white people can't be only white people can be racist. And the reason for that is every race in the world prefers its own kind. Every race in the world will discriminate against others in favour of its own race. So when blacks learn about racism, they think, well, it can't be that, because that's just absolutely normal. Racism must just be something that only white people can do, because otherwise we'd be guilty of it as well. So this is why they say that only a white person can be racist. And then they have the excuse of you have to have power to be racist, and blacks don't have any power. But they do. They're in parliament. They've got all these programs, these diversity programs, to get more of them into the police force, in the judges, into universities, everywhere. We don't have any programs to get white people anywhere. We don't have any advocacy groups that advocate for whites, because they get accused of being racist when they do. So you can't really say that white people have all the power, because it's multiculturalism that has all the power. As Piers and Susanna accused him of racist language, he responded, whiteness is not just for white people. There are also Asian people, black people, who purport the psychosis of whiteness. It's about the ideas. It's about the fact that in the 21st century, 60% of British people believe the Empire was a force for good. This is like saying, because the Nazis built motorways, we should celebrate them. Well, blacks should certainly believe that the Empire was a force for good. As I've already pointed out, they would still be in the Stone Age without it. This professor wouldn't be a professor. He would still be blowing up a cow's anus to try and get the milk to come out of its udders, which the Maasai still do today. And this idea that Asians and blacks can purport the psychosis of whiteness, what he's talking about there is Asians and blacks that are talking about common sense and are talking about reality. People that realize that there are differences between the races. And the differences are responsible for the biological differences, that is, are often responsible for differences in things such as crime rates and ability to maintain a civilization, number of people that are up to the standard of going to university, all these sorts of things. I mean, IQ is the best life outcomes predictor that we have. And IQ is linked to race, just the same as it is linked to heredity. If you have very intelligent parents, they're going to have very intelligent children. I mean, it's just common sense. It's just nature. And if Asian people or black people talk about this, then apparently they've got a psychosis. This is the mentality that is out there. When Piers asked if he was honestly comparing the British Empire to Hitler's totalitarian state, Professor Andrews hit back, "You're right, there is no comparison. The British Empire did far more harm to the world for a far more sustained period of time." And that is really going to rile a lot of British people up the wrong way, isn't it? Claiming that the British Empire was worse than the Nazis, when they've been told all their lives that there was no greater evil than the Nazis and no bigger devil than Adolf Hitler. And this is incredible, really. This Professor Andrews has been brought up in Britain. He's been given everything that our British ancestors created. He's just been handed that on a plate. He's been given the benefit of our education system, which has been built up over thousands of years. He's probably had a scholarship to help him into university on a diversity quota. And he pays back the people that did all this for him by saying that they're worse than the worst ever most evil empire in the whole of history, the evil Nazis. And this is why I say it's best not to interfere with these people. You know, we never should have gone to their countries and given them our medicine and our science in the first place. We should have just left them alone to progress at their own rate. They're never going to thank us for what we have done. And what we do for them will never be enough. This is what we learn from them. I mean, we've spent 70 years doing everything we can to try and aid them, to raise them up to the same level as ourselves. And all we've done is we've made poor white people, the lowest ethnic grouping, with resources that are put into them. We've given blacks the most resources. We've come out with diversity quotas. We've allowed them get into university with lower scores. We've come up with saying that white people can't apply to get into certain jobs. We've told the judges that if the person in the dock is black, they have to bear racism in mind, and the fact that there are far more blacks in prison than there should be due to their percentage of the population. You know, we've made all these changes to benefit them, and it hasn't done any good at all. Their attainment rate is still exactly the same as it always has been, which is what their IQ would predict, and the number of them in prison is still exactly the same as it always has been. You know, we could put all the resources that we possibly have into this, and they still wouldn't be able to be the same as white people, because they're not white. It's just basic nature. They're not the same as us. They are a different subspecies of human to us. Each different, you know, you wouldn't expect a different subspecies of animal to behave the same as another subspecies, would you? And it's just common sense. It's not even as if they look exactly like us, but mysteriously they're not us. I mean, they don't look like us, and they're not us. Journalist Toby Young argued that had Britain not acquired so much territory, it may not have been able to defeat the Nazis. Well, that's a interesting rebuttal there. He said, what about the role that Britain in collaboration with its overseas territories played in defeating the Nazis? See, it turns around to having to defeat the Nazis now rather than this attack on white people. It's been a deflection into Britain defeating the Nazis. But Professor Andrews then said concentration camps were invented by the British Empire, as well as the idea of being about to kill people based on their race. Now, this idea of killing people based on their race is so ridiculous. When you hear Jews talking about the Holocaust, they will say, and it was all just because they were Jews. It wasn't just because they were Jews. The reason why they were put into these camps was because they were subversives, because they had declared war on Germany. World Jewry declares war on Germany was the headline in the Daily Express in 1936, I think it was, four years before the war. They put an economic blockade upon Germany. The Jews within Germany were saying, what the hell do you think you are doing? You are making life awkward for us here by what you are saying. And this was directed to these Jewish organizations that were basically constantly attacking Germany. Plus, you had this force of communism that was in Germany that was a huge threat. And a large part of the leadership roles within the communist movement were all held by Jews. And then once the war broke out, the Jews had been agitating for this war for years, and they formed a large part of the partisans, obviously the communists in Russia. They were belligerents. They were basically the same as having an enemy people that were within the countries that Germany occupied during the war. So they were put within these camps for their own safety. They weren't put in there just because of their race. They were put in there because of their behavior. And nobody was killed because of their race. People were executed for breaking the law, but nobody was killed just based upon their race. Again, this is this false idea that's put about, that there isn't actually any evidence for, that it all helps to make the Nazis out to be this unbefore seen evil, the ultimate evil, because the Nazis were nationalists. And obviously they don't want us to have nationalism. That's what's at the source of this. Professor Andrews added the science underpinning the Nazis came largely from the British Empire. Again, this is an interesting statement here, because it doesn't matter where science comes from. Either the science is correct or the science is incorrect, but it shouldn't matter where it came from. And this is the stage that we are at now. It matters more where something is coming from or who it is that is saying it, rather than what they are actually saying. And look at what the BNP were saying 10 years back. They were warning Britain about the grooming gangs, and they were ignored because they were the BNP. And now it comes out that what they were saying is the truth, and because the truth is being spoken about, and it's come from the Jay's report, well, that's okay. It shouldn't matter where the science is coming from. Either something is true or something is false. It doesn't discredit it because it's a nationalist saying it. The science here, it's not discredited because it came from the British Empire, because the National Socialists use it. I guess what he's talking about here is the science of eugenics. And every farmer in the country knows that eugenics is a good thing. I mean, what's wrong with trying to improve the racial hygiene of the nation? What is wrong with trying to limit the number of people born with congenital defects? What's wrong with trying to increase the number of people born with a high intelligence that are going to be able to do great things for the nation? You want to have as many geniuses born as possible so that they can make great leaps forward in progress. You don't want to have as many low intelligence people born as possible so that the nation is held back and just becomes full of crime and alcoholism. The science is science. This is the thing. We often get accused of, the nationalists will defeat their arguments with science, but they never actually come up with any science. They just come up with ad hominems. and pointing out that whoever it was that said that was a Nazi, so that discredits everything that he said. This all comes 1 year after he said the decision to build tributes like the Bomber Command Memorial, desecrated with white paint yesterday, was like justifying terrorism. And that's the first that I actually heard, that the Bomber Command Memorial had been desecrated with white paint. Obviously, I would condemn that, the same as I would condemn any memorial being damaged or vandalized in any way. We may disagree with what Bomber Command did, but they were still fighting for Britain. They were still fighting for the British people, the same as I would honour the people in the SS that were fighting for Germany. These were brave men. We certainly shouldn't be encouraging the desecration of their memorials. He said, "We are talking about a war crime. I think it is a tragedy they died, but we don't need a statue." I think we should have a statue. And as I say, what they did was terrible with the terror bombing, but what they were essentially doing is fighting for their country and trying to win the war as quickly as possible. Because once the war is won, it's finished. It's over and done with. His extraordinary statements aired on Good Morning Britain on January the 22nd last year, when Piers Morgan asked him, "Why do you see everything that we are proud of as sticks to beat our country with? Sometimes you have to stand up and fight. A war crime is Hitler and the Nazis." And of course, that's because it was decided in the Nuremberg Tribunal that only the Germans could commit war crimes. Otherwise, Britain and America and Russia would have been held up for war crimes. Their war crimes far outdid any that the National Socialists were guilty of. That's why they had to come up with this story of the gas chambers, because they couldn't find any war crimes to compare to the terror bombing of civilians that Churchill did. I mean, Churchill is the one responsible for that terror bombing. The fighter pilots that were just carrying out their orders, they should be honoured for carrying out their orders. Dr. Andrews fired back, "You can't justify terrorism by saying we won a war. The next time a terrorist lets off a bomb, I'll come back to you because you just justified it." The Bomber Command Memorial in Green Park, built to remember the 55,573 airmen who never came home during the Second World War, has been damaged for the fourth time since the Queen opened it in 2012. So just think about that. That what they may have been doing may have been horrific. There have been hundreds of thousands of civilians that were burned alive, but 55,573 husbands and fathers never came home after going away to defend their country. So, yes, we have to honour the memory of these men. The attacks have caused great anger and grief to veterans and the families of those who lost their lives. Dr. Andrews, who believes Britain was built on racism, said, "I'm not defending the vandalism of memorials at all. What I'm saying is the way we put up these memorials is the wrong way. It's a tragedy, and those lives lost were also a tragedy, but the majority of those bombers were going to civilian targets. Over 500,000 German civilians, men and women, were killed. This was a war crime." And he is correct there, but why he has to... But what he's really doing here is just trying to attack the British people. That's why he's bringing in this anti-racism, white psychosis, and then coming up with this, "Oh, you killed all these civilian targets." He's just attacking the British people who were kind enough to him to allow him to come into our country and educate him. This is why we just shouldn't bother. We should have just left them doing what they were doing in Africa. Of course, we can't go back in time, as I was talking about yesterday, so we just have to learn to live with the way things are now. But the more these people are put on television like this, the more people will wake up to what is going on and become nationalists, I think. Dr. Andrews also clashed with Piers when he branded wartime Prime Minister Winston Churchill a racist. He claimed in an appearance in October 2018 that Britain was built on racism and that everyone involved in it probably has a racist past. Well, as I pointed out, it's totally natural to prefer your own kind. He himself prefers his own kind, but he thinks that he can't be racist because he's black. The academic compared Churchill to Hitler for his treatment of Indians when the country endured a famine in 1943. And of course, we have covered that ourselves here at Radio Albion on Truth Will Out Radio. We're doing a series at the moment on Churchill's body count. We do condemn Churchill for the innocent lives that he took. And we don't say that, well, because it's Churchill that did this and he's British, we're not going to criticise him, which is the logic of this black professor who says because that science came from Hitler, we have to ignore that science. Describing Churchill's imperialist views, Mr. Andrews said, "The historical record here is clear. Even Boris Johnson admitted that Winston Churchill was racist." See, what they're saying here is that's the worst possible thing in the world, is that you can be accused of being racist, which essentially means you prefer your own people, you prefer your own family to the other families that are out there. He believed the white race was superior, that natives didn't have a right to their lands in the Americas, and that the Indians were a ghastly people. Well, the Red Indians in America, they didn't have a right to their lands because they lost the battle. They lost the war. So if you lose the war over land, then yes, you do lose your right to that land, don't you? And the Americans were very magnanimous, and instead of just wiping out the Red Indians entirely or enslaving them, which is they would have a right to do after being victorious in battle, they actually gave them reservations. When co-host Susanna Reid asked if Churchill should be viewed as a product of his time, Mr. Andrews said that was the Jimmy Savile defence. It was that way back in the day. Leo Amery, the Secretary of India, said that Churchill's views on India were so extreme he couldn't separate them from Hitler's. The truth is, Hitler was a great military leader, a product of his time, and if they had won the war, we wouldn't be having this same discussion now. So again, what they're putting across here is that because this guy is speaking truthfully about Hitler, then that's another reason for us to attack him. The fact of the matter is that Churchill's views led to 3 million people starving to death in Bengal, as he was more interested in stockpiling rations for war. This is the problem that Britain has. The reality is that it's built on racism, and everyone involved in it probably has a really racist past. Well, what about the African tribes then that used to massacre, butcher, cook, and eat the other tribes? Didn't I recently do a podcast about the Congolese eating all the pygmies? I mean, that was just 10 years ago, and the Congolese pretty much wiped out the pygmy tribes in the Congo by killing them and eating them. What about the Rwanda massacre, where there were millions of Hutus and Tutsis that were massacred? And this isn't something that is unique to white people. And obviously he's not capable of self-reflection. He thinks that only white people can do wrong, basically. Peers hit back at the academic, claiming that despite Churchill's obvious flaws, he played a vital role in defeating Hitler and the spread of Nazism. If it hadn't been for Winston Churchill, I think we probably wouldn't have the stomach to take on Hitler, added Peers. He rallied everyone in this country. And yes, that is true. If it wasn't for Winston Churchill, there would have been peace. It was Churchill who wanted that war. It was Hitler that came out with 20 separate peace offers. Finally, when asked whether the university was standing by Professor Andrews, a Birmingham City University spokesman told the Mail Online today, "We do recognise that comments such as those you refer to may be considered controversial by some, but this does not negate our respect for the ability of all individuals to exercise freedom of speech within the law." Amazing, isn't it? They'll defend a black professor's right to freedom of speech within the law, but they will ban white people from speaking in the universities if they're not going to be attacking whites. Incredible hypocrisy. He continued, "Indeed, under the 1986 Education Act, we have a legal duty to promote freedom of speech. Universities are plural societies which are home to differences of opinion, debate and views. As such, the university neither endorses nor condemns Dr. Andrews' personal views, but we defend his freedom of speech to express controversial or unpopular opinions. And why doesn't that apply to nationalists? Why can't nationalists speak in universities? Why haven't we got people like Mark Cullett speaking in universities? Why isn't Edward Dutton touring the universities of Britain speaking about racial issues and ethnocentrism? Because they would just get shut down and deplatformed. It's all very, very well of this university spokesman to speak up about free speech and differences of opinion, but that's not the reality, is it? It's only the blacks that get the free speech and the differences of opinion. It's only the ethnic minorities that nowadays have that privilege. We don't have that privilege. But this is great anyway, because it's obviously woken up a lot of people that were watching this program while they were eating their breakfast and were no doubt shocked to hear somebody attacking white people in such a way. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Carolyn Yeager. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.